you for this opportunity, this privilege to speak words of life. Bless these words that they might touch and inspire and change. We thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I would ask today if you would be so kind to grant me a few minutes past 12:30. Would you do that? I'm looking at the clock. I'm not going to be finished at 12:30. So I want you to relax. Because if I don't tell you that and it gets to be 12:30, you might get a little tense. And I want to take just a moment to do something. Jordana came up and I'm glad you did that, Jordana, and passed me a note and said that John, who was sitting next to you, is a Marine, and he's going to Iraq in a couple of weeks. And I don't do this to embarrass you, but if you're going to Iraq in a couple of weeks, you need our special prayer and blessings. And there may be someone else that I didn't know about that might be leaving. My daughter, I'm not doing this to embarrass her, will be leaving in a couple of weeks. And she is going to meet her ship, who knows where. I have an idea where it's at. Can't tell you, or we'd have to kill you, right? But we know where the ship is at. And so I know Carla is going to be leaving in a couple of weeks. And there might be someone else that's leaving soon to go to points far away regarding service to our nation. Is there someone like that that fits that also? We want to pray for you. Is there anyone else that we may have overlooked? Well, those two individuals come to mind. And Dan, I'm going to put you on the spot, but I know you can handle this. I wonder if we could just come together and pray for those two individuals that are going to be leaving us soon and ask God's blessings upon them. And they send his special angels out to protect you, John. And you're going to need that. And Carla, you're going to need that as you go away. So I would ask you to, I don't do this to embarrass you, but this, would you come and join me? John, would you do that? Carla, would you do that? And I'm going to ask Dan. Dan is our first elder here at the church. And I'm going to ask Dan, I'm just going to join with us. And we ask you to join your hearts as we pray for these two who will be leaving soon. Would you do that?
John,
and then Carla. You know Carla.
Let's bow our heads. Holy Father in heaven, good morning again. Just now, these two individuals, Carla and John, we want to lift them up before you. They're going to be going into more of the front lines of our nation's military, where they will be working to save lives and to protect our interests of our country. And Lord, we want to ask your special blessing and protection upon them. We know that there is an unseen world of angels. And we pray just now that both for John and for Carla, that you would send a special contingent of your angels to protect these two people. This church is holding them up in prayer. Our prayers are united as they ascend to your throne room. And I just pray, oh Father, that you would hear this prayer. I know you do. And that you would honor this request to put a special protection around them. Yes. Let them as they serve, oh Father, let them be able to serve in such a way that your love is seen through them. Let them be safe. And Lord, take into consideration all the factors that are out there. We as Christians today are challenged in our world. And we just ask, Lord, that you would give them incredibly good judgment.
Amen.
Help them to be able, through the power of your Holy Spirit, to have discernment in the discharge of their duties. And Lord, we just ask that this world can be a safer place because of your Spirit. Mm-hmm. Bless them and the work of their hands, the work of their minds, and may it glorify and honor your name is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
God bless you. Come back safe, all in one piece. This must... This is my daughter. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate that. Thank you, Dan.
Well, I got some really good news for you on this Sabbath regarding this message. I have the missing ingredient to spiritual health. How many want to know what that is? Okay, amen. Well, the answer comes from a Gallup poll, believe it or not, and from a minister, Dr. Albert L. Weinsman. He was a Methodist pastor. He had done studies about what it takes to strengthen the faith of congregations. And what he discovered is that over the past 10 years, there has been a marked increase in spiritual matters. People have an interest, the general population, in spiritual matters. And Dr. Weinsman found in his study that despite the fact that there is an interest overall in spiritual matters, that the church has not capitalized on the interest. And he felt that the churches needed to find a way to connect the people's faith with the organization of the church. And so he did a landmark study, and it is. He polled 1,100 churchgoers from 9 Protestant congregations in 4 states. He studied 2 dimensions. He studied the spiritual commitment dimension. And the other dimension that he studied was congregational engagement. Now, spiritual dimension, according to his definition in the study, had to do with things that we do like pray, how we felt, inner peace, personal kinds of spiritual things. We call them today spiritual disciplines, fasting, praying, any of those things. And you know what we've discovered? And I am so happy that the church, and specifically the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is really taking an interest in the spiritual disciplines. And I'm grateful for that. In fact, just a few weeks ago, our young people decided that they wanted to have a week of prayer, a week of emphasis on prayer. And that is a tremendous thing. Spiritual commitment had to do with the power to forgive, encouraging others, all of those kinds of things. But Dr. Weinsman also studied congregational engagement. Now, what that is, putting it in plain English, is working for and in the church. Congregational engagement. And that had to do, and they found that congregational engagement, people doing work for the church, it depended on how much the person felt that their opinions mattered, whether or not the leaders cared about them, the members having a clear expectation of the church. All of this had to do with them being involved in the church. So if the congregation felt that their opinions mattered, they're more likely to do something in the church. That's what he found out in his study. But this is an interesting point, and I asked you that you wanted to find, did you want to find the answer to spiritual health? He found out in that study that congregational engagement is more likely to lead to spiritual commitment than the other way around. In other words, doing something for the church makes you spiritual, not the other way around. Isn't that amazing what he discovered? doing something in the church helped you to be spiritual, not the other way around. I was surprised by that. And so today there's a high emphasis on spiritual commitment, and that is a good thing. I hope we'll never let that go. But you're more likely to be spiritually committed if you do something. Oh, pastors love to hear that. Amen. Why is this important? He found out that this was important because religious communities and churches are really not functioning at its optimum spiritual health because not everybody is doing anything. Now, you're going to think, because this is nominating committee and asking, you're going to think that I had an agenda. I really didn't. The Lord gave me this message, and it's going to be directed toward the work that Roger and his family has done for this church. So I know you'll be thinking there are ulterior motives, but there was not. I really don't preach that way, and I really don't make my messages that way. I really don't. You just have to believe me. I preach the message that the Lord gives me. And let the chips fall where they may. I found that churches want people to engage in the work of the church. But I have found that year after year, it always seems like it's the same individuals that do everything. Have you found that? No matter what you do, it's the same names that will come back up over and over and over. But yet, we want people to engage in the work of the church. And I recognize change is hard, and sometimes it has to do with that. But today, I want to talk about something remarkable. And Roger, I don't do this to embarrass you, but you really have done something remarkable for the church. You have been willing to say yes to one of the toughest jobs in the church for over 20 years. And believe it or not, that's made you a better Christian. You may not have felt that way going through that. And I want to let you know, and I've entitled the message, "The Rewards of Making a Contribution." There is rewards. There are rewards that have to do with you making a contribution. One writer said, "The greatest enemy of tomorrow's success is today." History will judge a man or woman not by their victories or defeats, but by their results. Another quote, "The ultimate measure of a leader's success is that we have made the difference in the lives of people that we have led." And this brings me to the book of Mark. I want you to turn there very briefly, the book of Mark, the 9th chapter. You'll turn there, and I won't even read all the text in the interest of time. Mark chapter 9, and starting at verse 30 of the Gospel of St. Mark. I'll start reading at verse 30 of Mark chapter 9. "Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee. And he did not want anyone to know it. For he taught his disciples and said to them, 'The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day.' But they understood this saying." I was checking. Now, y'all asleep. Is that what the Bible says? No, it says, "But they did not understand this saying and were afraid to ask him." Now, look at this. This is absolutely powerful. Now, we use this passage when we do the blessing of children. You've seen that passage before. Look at this. I want you to see this. Don't miss this. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road?" But they kept silent. For on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, "If anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and set him in the middle of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me." In other words, and I want you to get this, this is absolutely powerful. Don't miss this. Jesus took a child. Now, a child in his day had little influence and was not powerful. Jesus took a child and said, "If you will accept or welcome this child, it's just like accepting God. It's just like welcoming me." And Roger, that's what makes what you have done so marvelous. You were accepting God. And in accepting God, you're growing in God. Isn't that wonderful? Now, what Jesus was actually doing, he was establishing the law of including and engaging. Including those who are powerless, engaging, allowing those who have no influence to get involved in the work of the church. Isn't that wonderful? He was allowing those who have no power and no influence to be a part of his great work. What a God we serve. But I wish I could tell you that engaging and working in the church meant that there were no tensions and no problems. In fact, in public speaking, it says, "It's better to leave them longing than to leave them loathing." And if I don't hurry up, I'm afraid that I'll have the latter if I don't hurry up. But there is a point when we must know when to receive the reward. There should be a point in the life of everyone who is engaging in the work of the church to know when to move on. When to do something else. There's a tension connected there. And in fact, when you study the great leaders, you know, some of the leaders that we remember most, they have made great contributions, but not necessarily the greatest. But we remember them because of how they left. John F. Kennedy. Now, I don't know if this is not political as much as he really served a short amount of time as president. But we remember him for as much as how he left. We could probably tell you very little about his actual contributions, to be truthful, because of how he left. And Martin Luther King made great contributions, absolutely, no question about it. But we remember him as much by how he left as anything. And what's my point? My point is, sometimes as a leader, you're better off getting out alive than staying on. Because the longer you stay, eventually you're going to make controversial decisions where once you were loved and now you're hated. That's the challenge of leadership. And so knowing when to stop receiving the reward is a real challenge. And the only way to do that is to really know what the Lord wants you to do. But Roger has done something that I don't want you to ever forget that's so important.
Greg Zimmerman, who was up here, was Roger's successor. Tremendous example. You know, sometimes we think we're the only ones that can do what we do. And so we never let go because we don't think anybody else can do it. Now, Roger, I want to pay tribute to you because you found in Greg Zimmerman somebody that you said could do this too. And you have mentored him for 3 years or so, and now Greg Zimmerman will take over where Roger left off and may do greater exploits than you'd ever done. That's a tremendous model for us, Roger. I mean, I can't tell you how important that is that you're willing to let someone else do what you've done. I hope you'll know that this is not a sermon where I have ulterior motives. Because if not, somebody will leave and say, Pastor must be getting ready to leave. Folks, please. This is strictly what I'm saying it is. Amen? I want you to get that. That's very important. Roger, what a tremendous model you've left for us. The reward of a successor. Joshua succeeding Moses. Elisha following Elijah and getting a double portion to help him do the work. But I have to admit, there is tension even in the rewards. Not enough time with your family. I know you spent money that you didn't have. You didn't go and ask the treasurer for anything. I just know you spent it out of your pocket. I know it. You can't do anything for 20 years in the church and not take a lot of money out of your pocket. Come on, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Something you never go to the treasurer and ask for. I know for your children, and I want to applaud you for your young men. But I know that they, you know, as members of the church, they couldn't have the same fun that some other folk out there thought they were having. I know that comes, that's the tension that comes with engaging in the work of the church. I know you might have been crucified for helping, for what you thought was helping someone else's child. And, you know, it didn't work out that way and you were misunderstood. I know that it is possible in engaging in the work of the church to spend years helping and giving and giving and giving some more. And you know what you get out of it? Give me some more. I know that that's possible. That's the tension that comes with working in church. And what I have discovered, that sounds rough, but I'm telling you, life engages you whether or not you think you're engaged or not. Most of us are engaged on our jobs. And you'll find that life itself is not fair. Take the case of Mike, a butcher. He transferred his job and his retirement account from a job to his new job. He transferred his $250,000 pension to his new job. And when he started on that job, the shares were $90 per share. And it wasn't long after he was on that job that Enron went bust. And his $250,000 that he transferred from his other job and put it all in Enron stocks were worth zero. Life is not fair either as you engage in life. Sometimes we put all of our energies in things that do not pan out. And he left his job with $2,000 and one penny in Enron stocks. While Linda Lay, Kenneth Lay's wife, sold her $500,000 shares before the company went bust and she knew what was happening. Folk, life is not fair. So sometimes the reward that you think you're getting out there is not necessarily what you think. But Roger, let me tell you, your reward. Your reward is Sylvia. What a reward. And I really mean that. A wife who's working with you. You don't spend 20 years in Pathfinders and keep your wife without your wife agreeing to it. And I know that it's not always easy. But your reward is Jeremy and Matthew and Josh. That's your reward. When you see them up front, I'm telling you, you got a reward. And I know sometimes, for some of us older ones, you know, just seeing them in church sometimes, unfortunately, is not enough. We want them to be in church and be exactly like us. We want them to like the same music we like. Oh, help me, Jesus. I know I'm getting in deep water. We want them to like everything exactly the way we like it. And if they don't fit that bill, they must have didn't get it. Folk, we need to stop that. Roger, I mean, it's a real testament to you what your two young men just did for you today. That's why your work was not in vain. That is your reward. Because life is not fair. Life is not fair. But God is good. You see, this is not about fair. This is about God being good. And in all of the years that you have spent at Pathfinders, and all of the years that some of you are spending in the work of the church, I want you to not miss this. You see, when the disciples were arguing about who was the greatest? Y'all don't say it like him. Who was the greatest? Jesus was the greatest. I mean, it's almost humorous that they're arguing about who is the greatest and Jesus is the greatest. I don't want you to miss this. If you do work in the church, make sure you get Jesus. Don't spend years working in the church and not have Jesus. That's your reward, Roger. Your family, Jesus, wise enough to have a successor. Oh, what a model for us today. Get Jesus. And you know the strange thing about it? I'm talking about rewards that we don't deserve. We don't deserve a thing of it.
The only credit that we can give, Roger, after all the work you've done and we gave you a little plaque, you got to go home and not take any credit. It all belongs to Jesus. Because I know that if you have worked with young people in the church for 20 years, I know it had to be the one thing that keeps it, that our religion is not in vain, and that God did not leave the church to people who are apathetic and lukewarm. You know why I know that? Because when you read John chapter 16, you'll find that Jesus did something to make sure that his church, you see, you need to get engaged in the church, because the church is never going to fail. How do I know? Because Jesus left God the Holy Spirit to make sure that it would never fail. And so if you decide that you got too many other things to get engaged in the life of the church, guess what you'll find? It'll roll right on. And you will wonder why you're not spiritually where you ought to be. Folk, let's get engaged. Let's finally decide that I'm going to find something that I can do in this church, and I would pray that we as leaders would let you do it. Amen. May God help us. Roger, thank you. Sylvia, thank you. Thank your boys, your men. Thank them for us. You've left a valuable lesson for us. And now I want to invite you to do one other thing for me, Perez family, is not quit. You see, when the Lord stops you from doing, he has something else for you to do. Amen? I mean, you might not be pathfinding, but I know you're an elder in the church. There are things for you to do. Never stop. Because we want to grow, amen, spiritually. May God help us to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for how you inspire us. We thank you, Lord. This church operates because people are engaged in the work of the church. This church could not operate if people were not engaged in the life of the church. From our treasurer to our elders to our deacons and deaconesses, pathfinder leaders, Sabbath school teachers, ushers and greeters and singers and musicians and people who encourage one another, people who send notes to one another, people who visit hospitals. Lord, our church could not function if people were not engaged. Lord, we need more people to engage themselves into the life of the church. Because, Lord, we need work in the community. We need to touch Fallbrook. We need to touch Murrieta and Temecula. So, Lord, help us to be engaged. And in all of this, we will give you the praise, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You were kind today. Thank you. I'll try not to do this next.